Hello friends, before we get into the video, I just want to say thank you guys so much for all the support you've had on the channel lately. I started doing these narrations over a year ago, and it has changed my life drastically. I love doing these, and they're so much fun. I hope I can always do this in the future. And also, let's hit that like button if we get this video to 100 likes. Oh, I'm just kidding. Could you imagine if I was like that? Anyways, okay, let's get into some stories. When I was about 6 years old, me and my family were on a camping trip. And just for reference, this was around 2000 in the Bay Area, California. Anyways, one night we were standing around outside the tent, very late at night or early in the morning. It was definitely past my bedtime, but I was glad to stay up late. I'm not sure what we were doing, I'm pretty sure we were just standing around outside the tent talking, but what happened next I remember very clearly. I saw a bright, flashing light out of the corner of my eye. I looked up to see brilliant, colorful light streaks through the sky like a meteor. It rapidly flashed through every color, like one of those color-changing LEDs, but much faster. I've never seen anything else like it. Everyone stared in awe as we watched this brilliant object streak across the sky, and a few seconds later it disappeared. I don't really recall exactly how we reacted, but I'm pretty certain we were astonished. If I had to guess what was said, it would probably be along the lines of, "Wow, did you see that? What the heck was it? Was it a UFO?" I think we went to bed shortly after that. Thinking about what we'd seen, the next morning we were driving in the car and listening to the radio. Probably one of those morning shows, and the DJ happened to mention that there had been a satellite that had re-entered the atmosphere late last night. I guess they said that so anyone who had seen it would know what it was. When I saw it, I instantly thought it was a UFO. So I guess I held on to that explanation, and didn't entirely believe the satellite re-entry story. But after looking up some videos, and even seeing many spectacular examples of satellite re-entries, I believe it's like that's what I saw. But what I remember seeing was much more vivid and colorful than any of the ones I've seen on video. Even after all these years, I know that what I saw will always stick with me. So, I'm employed as a policeman, and I work the night shift in a tiny little town. The population here barely breaks 1,000. Needless to say, I know the town well enough to be able to tell when something is off. Near the center of the town, there is an old school they used before they built the new elementary and high schools. The building is listed as a historical site, and the building can't be demolished, but due to asbestos, renovations would cost the town too much to be worth the work. This school sits within feet of the public library, and behind sits the town's fairground. It isn't an official fairground, but every year, they had bull rigging and small child shows they put on in the summer. With all of those details out of the way, I will explain what happened. I noticed the back light to the library on, which is not normal since it wasn't all night. And it is not a motion light. So I parked on the north side of the old school grounds. I walked through the fence and had to pass the school to get to the library. I would stop every few feet and listen because the gravel was so loud. When I stopped the second or third time, I thought I heard a squeal in the school, just like a door. And at first, I didn't think anything of it, since I figured I was hearing things. The town just replaced all the windows in this building, so I thought I wouldn't hear the inside. When I investigated the light and found all the doors locked, I was walking back around to my car. As I walked by the school again, I heard a noise in the building again, and I stopped. I listened and shined my light, noticing a basement window was broken out. So when I walked up to the window, I looked down and I didn't see anything. I kept walking and I heard the squeal again. It reminded me of those bathroom doors in schools that the hinges always squealed really loud and echoed. When I came around the corner, I saw two cats, roughhousing the dirt. They stopped to watch me, and then both of them turned and looked at the door. I couldn't see myself because it was around another corner. One hissed and they both bolted away from the school, which put me on edge. I know the school is absolutely not in use, nor are there any plans to use the school anytime soon. Also, the local kids and homeless don't come here, ever. It is a landmark the city as a whole really admires, and has been an issue with breaking and entering for a long time. So when I came around the corner, I saw the door. I walked up to see if the cats had run from. I looked for other animals, but that didn't make sense because they looked up, as if someone was standing in the window of the door, not like they would if there was a raccoon or a dog that ran off without me seeing. When I looked in the window with my light, I could see a gigantic Raggedy Ann painted on the wall, and I assumed this was the kindergarten section or something. Then I stepped back from the door, getting ready to leave, and I heard whistling. It wasn't really loud, but it was loud enough to make me stop. That little voice in the back of my head was talking now and telling me I was just hearing things. But the dude that likes to dump the fear of the unknown told me to get back to the door. So I went back and listened again. And I know it was whistling. Not like the squeak of an animal or object from inside. It got louder. And when I came to the door again, it had a tune, but I don't know how to describe it. So now thinking someone is in the school, I went around and checked all the doors, including the second floor door. That I had to climb the rusty metal stairs that were more like a death trap. When I couldn't find a way in the school, I checked it all over again. And when I left, I couldn't figure out what it was. The whistling had stopped, and I even hung around outside for a few minutes, without my light on, just watching, figuring if someone was inside. They would eventually need to use a light to get around or back out. But there was nothing. After 20 or so minutes, I got back in my car, circled the block, and parked down the way with my lights off to watch for someone to come out at some point. But no one did, and there hadn't been any lights inside. I know this story is kind of boring compared to some others, but working nights gets you on edge. And for all the things I know I experienced before, this was in my top 5 bone-chilling moments while working. I wanted to debunk the noise and the cats, but I wouldn't even know where to start with it. Like the title says, I can't explain what happened. Hope you enjoyed reading it, and I hope to share my experiences in the future. A little background on my grandparents. I loved them very much, but they were problematic. My grandfather was a hotshot Delta lawyer, who was a member of the Citizens Council, and had countless mistresses and affairs, but also worked ferociously to desegregate public schools and defend disenfranchised laborers pro bono. My grandmother was vain and hellish to her maids and staff, never paid them equally, and kept a gun in her car so she could pack heat when she ran down my grandfather's girlfriends and threatened them with an inch of their lives. So these two dysfunctional people, very much a product of their times, had 3 children and dominated their little town in Mississippi. They were one of the few wealthy families and wanted to cement their status by buying the oldest and largest houses in town. Located in the heart of the tiny historic district, the house was a 100-year-old Victorian, the cliche of it all, that had stood empty for 20 years and needed a complete overhaul. New roof, new walls, new insulation, you name it. My grandparents bought the house and lived in a rental for 3 years, while they tore out the asbestos and varnished the wood floors, updating the kitchen and landscaping. They quite literally spent millions on furniture and rugs, and paintings while they were waiting for the house to be finished. They moved into the house in 1973, and the first night, they had to call the police twice. Once when they heard loud footsteps walking the upstairs and stomping outside of their bedroom door, and the other when the kitchen door slammed shut on the first floor, shaking the floorboards. Basically, they thought someone had snuck in, evaded the police, and was still lurking around. My grandfather stayed awake all night, convinced that someone was hiding in their house. The sound of footsteps walking up the stairs and stomping outside their bedroom door went on every night for 3 months. My grandmother was the first to acknowledge the presence of the ghost. She quickly learned that it didn't like the electrical appliances. It had a vendetta against her vacuum cleaner in particular. The long hallway that ran through the center of the house on the first floor was called the gallery, and my grandmother had purchased a massive oriental rug to fill the space, and it required constant cleaning. The electrical outlet was on one end of the hallway, and she would plug in the vacuum and start making her way down the gallery. She would never get more than 5 feet down the hall before the vacuum would die, its plug having been ripped out of the socket. She'd go plug it back in, start vacuuming, and a few minutes later would have the same thing happen. Vacuum would die, plug would be laying on the floor. She always swore that she had plenty of slack in the cord length, and that someone did not approve of the noise of the vacuum. There was also an incident where the toaster in the kitchen went missing for a day and reappeared in the trash can. Their children, my dad, an aunt, and uncle, all claim they saw a man in the front parlor looking out the window. To this day, my aunt can't talk about the ghost without tearing up a little from nerves. When they left for college, they mostly never stayed in the house except for holidays, and even then, they elected to stay at friends' houses rather than sleep in the house overnight. One day in the mid-1980s, the niece of the original builder, the owner, came to town, and my grandparents invited her over to see the renovations in the house. The visit ended up lasting for hours as the niece, by then very elderly, waxed sentimental on the memories she had of the place and of her uncle. He was a doctor and used the front of the house as an office, an exam room, but died of a heart attack in the house when he was in his 50s. Apparently, he was well loved and the town turned out for his funeral, which was also held in the house. The niece told my grandparents that his wife always said that he never left and stayed looking after them. After that visit, things seemed to calm down for the next 6 to 7 years, until I was born. My mom and dad lived in the small town for a few years after my birth, and my grandparents would babysit and kept me overnight when my parents needed a break. I had distinct memories of sleeping in my crib in the upstairs hallway and being checked on by a tall man wearing a vest and long-sleeve white shirt. He'd check his watch and nod before walking away. I brought this up to my grandmother when I was a teenager. She absolutely lost it and went into a meltdown about how ghosts aren't real, and that I was making it up to upset her. So I never told her about seeing the man walk out of the greenhouse, or how I saw him in the window at the end of the hallway upstairs when playing in the yard. My dad believed me, however, because the man used to check in on him too. He'd be in bed asleep and wake up to the sound of the door opening slowly and then shutting quickly. Once he told me the background stories of the builder, I was convinced that it was the ghost of the doctor still making his rounds, checking to see if everyone was okay. I never spoke his name aloud, but in my head I referred to the ghost as Dr. W, his given name, and from then on I began to notice more instances of bizarre activity in the house. Pillows would be rearranged on sofas, doors would be left open when they were previously shut, and the dumb waiter would often rise and fall to different floors on its own accord. But once I left for college, I never saw Dr. W again. My grandparents sold the house when my grandfather began showing signs of early onset dementia. They built a new house out in the country, where he could take walks outside without encountering cars on busy roads. The house they built was massive but slightly smaller than the old Victorian. They moved in without any problems, but quickly realized that they weren't alone in the house. My grandmother told us the same things were happening in the house that occurred 40 years ago, when they moved into the Victorian. Footsteps on the stairs, kitchen appliances terrorized, doors opening and shutting. The activity calmed down after a few months, but my grandmother swore that she saw a shadow moving through the rooms. When my grandfather began to decline, she set up a hospice room for him in the house and hired a nurse to take care of him. He began to see people in the hallway outside of his room, a whole cast of characters. "That man," he said once, pointing at the door, "he's from the house." "What house?" we'd ask. "You know," he'd say, "the doctor." He also saw his mother, a man wearing old-fashioned speculars, a woman holding a loaf of bread, and his sister. But Dr. W was the one who lingered outside of his door watching him die. When he did pass, my grandmother felt someone in the room with him, and my grandfather was very agitated. "Not you," he said, over and over again. "Go away. Get out." I'm not sure why Dr. W chose to follow my grandparents. Maybe he didn't have a choice, but neither of them ever directly acknowledged the ghost in conversation with me. All of the info I have is from my father and aunt. If anyone has any similar experiences, I would love to hear them. This story takes place a few years ago when I was in college, but I was reminded of it after a conversation that I had with my sister. One night during summer break a few years ago, my sister and I went to a bonfire at a friend's house. The whole night was nothing out of the ordinary, just some close friends hanging and sitting around a fire. At one point, the fire was dying down a bit, so someone threw a huge piece of cardboard on it. Suddenly, a gust of wind caught the cardboard in a way that caused it to blow upward. I remember looking at the cardboard to make sure that it wasn't about to blow towards me, when I noticed that the fire was burning holes that distinctly looked like eyes and a mouth, with fire coming out of it. It felt silly, but the way it looked when it burned made me feel uneasy. It started to get late, so I decided it was time to drive home. I was on the last road before I got to my house, when my sister and I were talking, and she asked me if I noticed the creepy way that the cardboard burned in the fire. Not long after that, I remembered seeing something from the corner of my eye that looked like it was running towards my car tire. I know I wasn't seeing things because my sister gasped, and I ran off the road to avoid what I assumed was an animal that was feeling brave or suicidal. We looked out of the window to see what was there, and there was nothing. No sign of anything, and the road we were on didn't give any animals any hiding spots or woods nearby to run into. This freaked me out a little bit, but I could see my house, so I shook it off and pulled into the driveway. I'll never be able to understand what happened when I pulled into the driveway truly. I've never felt primal fear like I did in that moment. Everything inside of me was screaming at me not to walk up to my house. I felt so silly. I've lived in this house for years up until this point. I realized I wasn't crazy when my sister asked me if I felt it too. I looked over and I could see the terror in her eyes. We couldn't see anything outside, but I could feel evil watching us. We sat in the car and tried to play it cool and tell her how crazy we were being and that we needed to go inside. Suddenly, the lights in my car turned on. I lied and told my sister that I opened the car door a little bit, which caused the lights to turn on, but that was a lie. At this point, I was panicking but trying to play it off to keep my sister calm. We finally get out of the car, and for the first time in our adult lives, we clung on to each other like scared children and made our way towards the house. The house in this story has a front porch light that had been out for over a year. But sometimes we would accidentally flip the switch to turn the light on, and forget about it since the light didn't work anyways. That night we were walking up to the house. the light turned on and started flickering. It's never done that. We pushed through the fear and kept on going. We made it to the front steps, and as soon as I hit the first step, my phone started playing music on full blast. I had turned off my music before I had got out of the car. I felt like whatever was in front of my house was tormenting us. It wanted to make itself known, and we felt all of it. Walking on that porch into my front door was only a couple of steps, but that night, it felt so long. I remember feeling terrified to the point of illness. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to cry. But all I could do was keep my eyes on my front door and walk. I couldn't see it, but I know what I felt was on a specific area of my porch. My sister was closest to that spot, and she later told me how she could feel something against her as we walked together into the house. The strangest thing was, as soon as we walked through the porch into the house, I immediately felt better. The fear and the feeling of eyes on me and evil just vanished, and everything felt normal. The porch never felt malicious again after that night, and the light never turned back on. I don't know what was on my porch that night, but I know it wasn't good. Hey friends, thanks for checking out today's video. If you haven't yet, please make sure to hit that like and subscribe button to be notified when I drop a new video or stream. Also, be sure to check out my video's description, as I have hidden some links in there to some fun stuff, such as my Discord server, merch, and my social medias. And the next time you're out alone at night, who are you gonna call?